15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to start reading with verse number 51. Our message will come from the last verse. But verse 58 starts with therefore. So anytime you have a therefore, you have to look before, right? So we're going to go back and see what was being discussed before we get to that verse. So verse number 51, this whole chapter is talking about the resurrection, talking about the hope we have in the resurrection, and he's talking to Christians. Now, if we take time to study this whole 1 Corinthians, Paul spent the first part of this book kind of chewing them out. Because sometimes you got to be chewed on a little bit. But he closes it by encouraging them. I've always tried to be the kind of a pastor that I can preach it hard and preach it true and know it's hidden spots, it's hurting. But I want to be hugged when you go out the door. Does that make sense? And I think when things are done out of love, I think everybody's on the same page on that. And Paul was that guy. So as Paul writes this, here's what he says in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should all be changed. We know that he's talking about the time when the Lord comes in the air, snatching away. We are very guilty about using the word rapture when it does not even appear in the Bible. But the teaching of a snatching away does. There's going to be a caught up. And he tells us everybody won't die. Some will be alive when that happens. Now, I felt like my whole lifetime I'm that guy that's going to be alive. But I tell you, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to think about the ones that's going to be coming out of the ground. I might be one of them. I thought about having Rochelle dig a post hole and put me in. So when I come out like a rocket. Anyway, exactly. But he made a very blanket statement when he said, we shall all be changed. I love that part. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 tells us we've all been predestined to be like Christ. And all the things you and I are going through in this life is getting us molded and shaped. But it's already been predetermined what my end product will be. I don't have no trouble using the word predestination. I'm predetermined what I will be when I'm finished. Isn't that good to know tonight? I looked this morning or this afternoon as I came from the Parsons here. I'm definitely not a finished product. Definitely not. But it's already been decided how it will be. And I look forward to that. And Paul writes about it. He said this is going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This is not the message, this is a warm-up, I guess. But you remember Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? When you look up in the sky, it doesn't look like they really twinkle. But I was taught by an eye doctor that I had that our eye twinkles so many times a second. That's how it takes in light and darkness and determines what it's seeing. I always thought of, when he talked about it, I thought it was a blinking of an eye. Just a blink. That's not what it says. It's twinkling. Now, the God that created this body knew the language. He knew the twinkling was not a blinking. He would have said blinking. Amen? He said a twinkling. It's going to be instantaneous so quick that you don't know what happened. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Here's where it gets good. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if nothing else, we could close our Bibles and sing a song and go home, and I would feel okay right now. Because I know there's a hope. He said, if you're one of those who have only hope in Jesus in this life, He said, you're all men most miserable. My hope is past this life. I don't think I'm living in heaven right now. Amen? If this is it, I have been misled. And I know it's not heaven. One day He will recreate this earth in such a way it will be heaven on earth. But I can promise you we're not here right now. But there's a heaven to look forward to. A better life. A better physical life. No pain, no sickness. We talked in Sunday school about tears being wiped away. No more death. Be great if I never go to another funeral. But if the Lord tarries is coming, there'll be more. Yours or mine. We're going to funerals. But then He says this, therefore, because of this hope, because of the resurrection, because Jesus did not remain in the grave, because He came out and became the first fruits of all them that slept, because of that, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to look at the three words first tonight. Steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. I don't think those words can be separated. I don't think you can be abounding in the word and work of the Lord if you're not steadfast and unmovable. I think if you are steadfast and unmovable, you will be abounding in the work of the Lord. I think this is a trio, a triplet, if you will, and they are together. You don't have one without the other. Because I'm working for the Lord, but you're just all over the place in your faith, and I don't think that's possible. I think when you're steadfast, and let's look at the word steadfast. If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, steadfast and unmovable get really close to the same definition. But I think there's totally difference in them. First of all, steadfast is what? Stability. Stability. Firmness. The word that came in my Webster dictionary was consistent. You know, there's a lack of consistency today with Christians. Amen? There's Sunday, and then there's the rest of the week Christian. It cannot be that way if you want to be this abounding in the work of the Lord Christian. You've got to be steadfast, stable. Brother Dove was talking this morning about leaning on the Lord. Can I say this, and I agree with him 100%, but you need to be able to lean on each other as well. We need some strong brothers and sisters in church that you can lean on. We need stability. And that's what he's talking. He's talking, listen, he's not talking necessarily to individuals. He wrote this letter to a body of believers. He's talking to a local church, and he says, you all have to be steadfast, strong, grounded. I thought of different examples of that. Let me give you one. Go to Daniel chapter 3. If you got any way to mark the book of Daniel, keep it there. I'm going to come back in a second. But Daniel chapter number 3. You know these guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I still am amazed that we don't call them by the right name. We've called them by their Nebuchadnezzar name ever since I've been a kid. That's not the... We call Daniel by Daniel, but everybody else, you're just Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Well, you know, they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow to the king and the statue when the music was played. I want you to read this with me, if you would, verse 16, 17, and 18 of Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee. To me, that's the most important statement in the whole thing. There's got to be times that you don't even have to think about it. Amen? That you just know, no. You just know, no. You just, I don't want to explain myself. I don't really need to explain myself. It's a no here. And there's got to be times like that if we're going to be steadfast people. Now, I want you to know today, we're living in a world where Christians are starting to be fearful. We're worried if we say the wrong thing online that we could be censored, or worse, we could be fined. We're worried to make a we're worried about taking a stand against abortion, against same-sex marriage. We're worried about saying you can't be married here. We're worried about saying that. We don't want to be labeled. Folks, we've got to be labeled. We are being taught that we are peculiar, strange. We are different. We are totally different. We can do with love, but we have to be steadfast. I tell you what's the worst thing that I see today more than ever. I see compromising. I've watched for 40 years in the ministry, and I've seen things that we used to say, no way, no how, that's all of a sudden become okay. Can I say this bluntly? I think we're confusing the world if we're not careful. The world don't know what God expects because we kind of are changing. We're evolving. Maybe we've become chameleons. Y'all know what chameleons are? Rochelle used to have one. They change colors with the environment. That's not what God wants us to be. Amen? He wants us to be steadfast. Now these three boys said what? We're not careful to answer you on this. I love it. On this matter. If it be so, I love that, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. My God is capable that I could be thrown in that fire and my hair not even burn. My God is that capable. If it be what He wants. That's what they said. But listen to this. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Either way, Susan, you're not getting me. I die, I'm with the Lord. I used to have a crazy statement. What's the worst? I used to tell Rochelle, every time they were getting ready to put me to sleep, we'd be praying together and talking about it before they put me under. And I said, what's the worst case scenario? I die and I'm in with the Lord? If that's the worst case scenario, like, that's not so bad. These guys are actually saying that. Either way, Nebuchadnezzar, you're not going to get us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And y'all know the rest of the story. Nebuchadnezzar apologized and built him a big house and let him live happily ever after. That's not how it went down, was it? It made him mad. Can I tell y'all something? When you stand up and decide to do the right thing and be steadfast, somebody's going to get mad. Oh, you people. I've been a you people a long time. I'm going to continue to be a you people. Steadfast. Stable. Unmovable. Then he went on to say, back in 1 Corinthians 15, unmovable. Now, Webster kind of shared it the same way, except it gave another word. And I had to look at it twice. He gave the word persistent. The first one, steadfast, he gave consistent. But then he said persistent. What's the difference? I'm stable and unmovable. Well, it's the same thing, Brother Steve. You know what it means? It means there's been some time elapsed and you're still standing. Anybody can take a stand one day. Read that book. I won't take it ever. Go back to Daniel chapter 1. He's like a 13-year-old boy and he says, I'm not eating that. That's Steve Meese's version. I'm not eating that. Go down the line till he's 80 years old. And they told him not to pray, Bev. Don't pray like you've always done. Don't do it. If you do, you're going to the lion's den. He didn't even think about it, Phyllis. He went upstairs, he opened the window like he did every day. And you know what he did, Bobby? He got on his knees and he prayed. Unmovable, Brother Cecil. Persistent. Not just the one time I'm not bowing, but I'm talking my whole life. We've got to have that this day and time in our churches. I'm thankful for the white hairs and the no hairs. I am. We've got to have it. We've got to have steadfastness, but we've got to have unmovable. I ain't changing. I've been here too long. The pastor that I worked under as an associate pastor, he had some odd sayings. But he was firm. He wouldn't back down. And they'd get on about what he was preaching. And he said, here's what he told one of them one time. You can go for 30 cents. I got to rent a U-Haul and move everything. He's pretty hard, wasn't he? But he wasn't going to back off. Now, I want somebody who will preach the truth and hang in there, even though people say, Y'all? And I want if the truth ain't coming out, I want people to say, That's not true. Because you know what? For the last 60 or 70 years, I've known what truth is. I want people like that in my corner. I want to hear an amen or a hot dog every once in a while, Brother Greg. I want to know that we're on the same page and we've been growing in the Word of God the same way. And Paul's writing, he says, I need a group that's unmovable. And you've got a hope out there. Listen, the worst thing that can happen, if they kill you, you're going to go to heaven. There's a resurrection coming. That's what he said. That's simply what he said. These churches were being persecuted for what they believed. There were people in there trying to change their doctrine. They said, nope, ain't happening here. We have a hope of a resurrection. I'm just going to stick her to the end. Then he says this. Always abounding. Always abounding. I looked it up because I wasn't sure. Abounding, Brother Mike. Michael is above and beyond. Above and beyond. Not just getting her done, but above and beyond. Now he's talking about the work of the Lord. Not just getting some things done, but above and beyond getting things done. If you're steadfast and you're unmovable, when you start working for the Lord, which you will, I promise you, the Word of God, if you're steadfast, you've got to be on the Word of God. If you're unmovable, you're believing the Word of God. The Spirit of God's working in your life. You are going to bear fruit, I promise. You can't help it. You cannot. And here's what he's saying. When you do that, I want you to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because your labor is what? Not what? What is that? It's Sunday night, we're a little more relaxed. What is it? Not in vain.
Worthless.
Worthless, thank you. Solomon said all is vanity. It meant empty. What? Isn't there a song in the song, but must I go an empty handed? Is that a song in the book? What's it talking about?
Bringing in the sheaves.
Our work, our labors are not in vain in the Lord, right? As we labor for the Lord, we won't be there empty handed. I've always said this. This is how I taught my Belizean brothers and sisters. I believe it to be true. You and I are rewarded. We don't work for rewards, but we are rewarded for our works. Does that make sense? And if I believe Revelation chapter 4 for what I read, we're going to throw crowns at His feet. Where'd you buy them at? You buy them at like a gift store as you walked into the kingdom of heaven and there's a shop there, you got them before you went? No. You got them as a reward. I think that's what the song Empty Hand is talking about. There's going to be some there. They're there, Courtney. They got there. They made it. But they ain't got nothing. I don't want to be that, Brother Joe. I want to lay something at His feet. Don't you all? I do. And the only way it's going to be is I've got to be steadfast. Unmovable. Now, I'm not an expert on trees. I'm pretty good if they got leaves on them. When the leaves are gone, I'm in trouble. I think that, yeah, probably is. That's about where I'm at on them. But I was doing some reading this past week and they were talking about growing trees. And they've been experimenting about in greenhouses, growing trees, and these trees are growing faster in these greenhouses. Their leaves are staying on. It's much probably like Central America where I was living. The leaves never fell off the trees. You can plant a tree this big, and next year it's got fruit and it's that big, and the next year they're building tree houses in it, it seems like. They grow fast because there's no dormant season. Well, these trees growing in this greenhouse, they did it for 4 years, and they were growing 20-some of them 30 feet tall in 4 years. Now, that's a big tree if you're trying to get some trees in your yard. But when they took the greenhouse down around them, and the wind blew, every one of them fell down. And here's what they found out. Trees have what they call strengthened wood in them. That's not from the root system, but that's from the tree itself. You know how that's built? From the wind. The wind blows in them as a little sapling, Brother Greg, and that tree begins to build strength in this wood. Now what they could do, they take that wood and they cut it for sawmill wood, and that wood that was in them greenhouses was soft. Didn't have no wind blowing against it. Then when the wind did hit it, what happened? It went down. Now here's what I'm trying to say. The stronger you and I are going to be, the more God stretches us. The more wind we're against, the more we withstand the trials, Susan, and the troubles of this life, the more we go through and stay steadfast, the stronger we get. You know when the Christians got to be the strongest? When Nero became emperor. Read church history. Nero's killing them. He's cutting heads off, putting them on sticks, lighting up his town with them. And you know what happened, Brother Greg? They grew more and more and more. The more you stretch us, the stronger we get. Now, it seems like we're living in a tough time. And sometimes, Marilyn, I feel stretched too far. But you know what? God said He wouldn't let it happen more than I could stand. But will make a way for me to be able to escape it. Can I tell you all this, and I believe this with all my heart tonight? We're at a time in history when God needs His church to be light like never before. And we need to be salty like never before. My mom was salting the beans the other day. And she said, I don't know if I've salted them or not, but a little more salt won't hurt them. She hit her again. Now, we come from a group that would lick a salt block, if you know what I'm talking about. I bumped calves out of the way to get my lick. Maybe that's why we got blood pressure trouble. I don't know. But if there's ever a time the church needs to be salty, it's right now. And we need to be light right now. And we need to be steadfast right now. And we need to be unmovable right now. And we need to be abounding in the work of the Lord right now. If we want to see people saved, we better wake up. I believe what I said this morning. One day, there's going to be a knock at that door, and that door is going to be closed. And there's people I don't want to see that door closed on yet. I can give names. And I'm giving names to God. I don't know about you all, but I got some. And I'm praying. I'm letting Him know the names. He knows them already. But I want Him to know I know. Pray with me. But listen, church, we got to be what God wants us to be. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. For as much as you know, if your labor is not in vain, what? In the Lord. I want to be a tree planted by the rivers that brings forth fruit in its season. Don't you? I want to be abounding, above and beyond. But I'm going to need God's help. And I'm going to tell you all this. I'm going to need your help. This ain't a preacher thing. He wasn't writing this to a preacher. He's writing it to a congregation. And here he is. Y'all ready? To be unmovable, steadfast. I'm telling you this. In the next 20-some days, as the world focuses on the holiday, I'm going to take my opportunity to share Jesus during this holiday. I'm going to let everybody know the reason. Because I'm not sure He's born in December. It don't matter to me He was born. I can promise you, I've been over there, He was born. And He had to be. He came as the fullness of time was come. God brought forth His Son, born of a virgin. It happened. And we couldn't have a cross without a birth. Amen. So when people's confused and wondering, I'm going to finish the story. I'll give you a good thing to read in the month of December, starting Wednesday. Start with Luke chapter 1. And see what you read on Luke chapter 24, on the 24th, see what you read. You'll get the full story. Let's stand and pray tonight. Father, Lord, I pray for this time of invitation. Lord, You know our needs here tonight. Lord, I pray for each one of us in this room to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, help us to be faithful. Thank You for the examples like Daniel, Noah. Noah worked. He was abounding in the work. And the Lord used him to save a generation of people. Lord, I pray tonight that You would use us like You never have. Thank You for what we could read tonight. Lord, I pray for this time of invitation. If there's needs in this room, that they might be met tonight before we walk out of here. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.